at the Rickoff Bar.
Excellent. That's great. And I think before that, you're going to be in Ohio?
Yeah, between Ryle's and the Regatta Bar, we're taking the long route from Inman Square to Harvard Square by driving to Columbus, Ohio.
I was going to say, I didn't recall that on my commute there.
You know, that's what happens when you follow one of those GPS devices. You know, you think you're getting to Harvard Square, and suddenly you look up and you're
in Columbus.
You're in Columbus. So we're playing in Columbus with Mulatu and some other Ethiopians. And then we're driving to Toronto and playing at Harbourfront in Toronto, which is apparently a spectacular venue, and then driving back here.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, I was going to say, you know, we have another little announcement that we need to make here, and we should put on the announcement music. But in honor of Vicente and in light of the fact that we have Russ with us here from the Either Orchestra, I think we should supplant the usual the usual announcement music and perhaps put on this.
Oh, this will be good announcement music.
Yeah.
Once the drums kick in, the electric piano is coming.
Maybe you could make it for us. suggesting.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, this is kind of like that late night DJ kind of progressive radio, FM radio music.
Hey, you know, we're all about progressive FM radio. We just don't go so far late into the night. All right, Jasmine, you're on.
Whether you've been dancing salsa for years, or you'd like to learn how, or if you'd like to just relax after work to the sounds of salsa music, join us in the park on Monday nights. Every Monday in July, there will be a fun salsa dance party for everyone at Blackstone School Park in the South End from 6:30 to 9:30. Each night will feature live performances, dance instruction for all levels, from beginner to advanced, and lots of time to dance and socialize. There will be food and drinks for sale, as well as other items. The event is open for everyone. And if it rains, the party will be inside the community center. So it's something that you guys could do other than going to the event on Wednesday.
This is an anti-promo. We've talked too much about Wednesday.
That's right. This, you know, I have to say, actually, Sferio, we have a lot of fun on Sferio, but I think this is the first time in a long time that we've had so much laughing on Sferio. So I have to thank you for that, Russ. That's
well,
great.
You're welcome. And Vicente, as you know, because you do know Vicente, has brought so much laughter and joy and love into everybody's lives
that he's
played with and hung out with it then. So we're just hoping that we can get him out. And Vicente, if you're listening on your FM radio, which I don't think you have there.
on your iPod as you stream us live in, yeah.
That's right. Well, we want you out, and we're working to get you out, so...
Sí, compañero, para que sepas, ¿no? Estamos aquí en WMBR, estamos todos luchando por ti.
Baila, baila, baila.
It's 7 o'clock, almost exactly here at WMBR Cambridge, 88.1 FM, and I think that this actually is a great cut to lead into the Music for Human Beings, because their show is very much a calming and soothing experience.
Oh, good, good.
Well, this will be nice.
It's going to get faster and hotter here, but
and that's all right too.
And there are a number of human beings playing on this record.
Providing the music,
that's
in
right.
fact.
Mixed in with the androids.
This is Soul Song, right?
It is, from the Either Orchestra's Afrocubism CD.
Just such a great album name. I love it. All right, so you've been listening to Sferio, and I guess we're going to say goodbye for now, and we'll be back with you next Friday. Hopefully Jasmine will be here in person for 3 weeks in a row. And if you want to listen to us in between, you know, you can always do that by going to the WMBR.org website, and you can look us up on the archives. It has all of the shows of WMBR, and they're listed there alphabetically. So just look for the S for Sferio, and you'll find us there. You can also check out Sferio's website. Actually, we are a project of the Western Hemisphere Project, and the website for that is web.mit.edu/hemisphere. This is probably a good moment for me to say that the views and opinions expressed on this show are not those of the staff and management of WMBR, the staff and management of MIT, or the Technology Broadcasting Institute. And that's all for now. Thank you.
مرحبا أهلا وسهلا بكم to Music for Human. أنا دكتور جالس السكران و together I have with me Scrabble
بنرى
and PCP
what's up man
joining us today and any caller who can call with us to join in spiritual journey.
Only three needle points today.
It is a start, you know.
Yes. Dr. Jalas, you're Dictor Jalas in Arabic, is that right?
A Dictor Jalas.
Dictor.
Yeah. It would, in English, perhaps the closest equivalent would be, you know, if you were to translate word by word, mm-hmm. the Dr. Jalas. Oh, the okay. Dr. Jalas.
Oh. Are there other Dr. Jalases? Dr. Jalas?
Of course, you know, it. Jalas is not very uncommon as a name. So, naturally, probably, yes, there would be other doctors.
Does I know how in a lot of other languages you have meaning to names. Does your name have any meaning?
Jalas means reclining. So the concept, the image, is of one reposing.
A completely incompetent doctor. That's my image.
A relaxed, yeah, you know, at peace. You know, he's not standing, he's not running, he's jealous. Sitting.
Yeah. But conscious.
But conscious, yeah. Not asleep. Not, it's not Dr. Naim, you know. No, Dr. Naim is Sakran. It doesn't make sense, you know, it's ridiculous. Today, I was thinking earlier about, you know, the importance of quieting your mental noise. I find when I am lighting candles or painting houses that many thoughts occur to me that do not hold a place in the you know, natural order. And I'm curious to know what you do to quiet your mental noise. Either of you.
What? You paint houses a lot.
Well, it's sort of.
Because if I were painting a house, I would probably be bored out of my skull, and any thought I would embrace, try to embrace the lack of boredom.
Well, I regard it as a means to meditate.
Painting. You paint your house every day, maybe when you're just for a new color.
Not necessarily my house, you know, anyone's house. Sometimes I take it as a side job for a few drahim, you know, from time to time.
So you say job. Do you mean you get paid for this?
Oh,
so this is with full consent and knowledge of the owners of the houses.
Well, usually.
Usually?
Well, I mean, you know, I have a neighbor who had a house which was a particularly irritating shade of, well, we call it in aubergine, you know, sort of a purplish.
Like an eggplant.
Like an egg, like an aubergine,
like
yeah.
Like a brinjal.
A really very absurd color for a house. And it really, really violated my ability to meditate in my garden.
So this house, you had a view of this house?
Yes, it was my neighbor. And for many months, I struggled with this. And I dwelt deeply upon the effect, the spirit of the divine, the rippling of the pond. And the solution, after literally months of meditation, came to me that I should reach with my voice to correct this error. So I visited my neighbor, and you know, I should say first that the first step was to despise the color with my heart. This was, you know, the first step which I took instinctively. But the second was to correct it with my voice. So I went to my neighbor and I said, "Oh, my neighbor George, your house's color violates the principles of feng shui and of homely humility. Therefore, you should correct this and return to a state of peaceful serenity."
Like a cantaloupe color, maybe.
But yeah, cantaloupe color is much more, I mean, you know, I find it more pleasing than a sort of pale purple violet color, which is very irritating. Anyway,
so how was this resolved?
Well, of course, my neighbor refused. After much insistence and the petitioning and the gathering of signatures, so in secret, one evening, I began to paint his house.
Began to paint, so you never finished?
No, I mean, you know, one evening it was secret, and the next evening, one of the neighbors noticed that the painting had begun, and he joined me. And the following evening, four neighbors were painting the house. And within 3 days, 4 days, we had painted the entire house an entirely different color.
Which color?
We painted it black.
That's not a color. That's a disgusting color for a house.
Well, it was far more, you know, it was more like we were trying to encourage the neighbor to select. You know, it's not right that I should select a color for my neighbor's house. So we chose a color that we felt even he would find ridiculous.
That's brilliant.
So when you began this story, you mentioned that your neighbor George had a house.
Well, he had a purple house.
Oh.
And now he has, well, a gray house.
Why gray?
Well, he repainted it gray. He tried to paint it white, but unfortunately it was so black that it turned out gray.
I see. He didn't wait for the paint to dry.
Maybe. I don't know paint mechanics really very well. Actually, you two might be more of experts.
Well, I've never painted a house, so...
I'm not painterly either.
Oh, I see.
But the first night you were painting the house black, what sort of thoughts did you have to battle?
Well, let's hold this for a moment. It seems we have a caller. Let's see if we can make this arrangement. Hello, you are on the air?
Oh, I am on the air. This is Human for Beavis and Butthead. So you ever trap acid and everything's all right? You're all in your normal state of consciousness. You're all in your everyday shit and it's all black.
Yeah, just like the house.
Yeah, it could be black for a really long time.
Well, yes, Robert. Sometimes...
What makes things black?
Blackness, according to physical law, is the absorption of many wavelengths of light, resulting in very little visible reflection. Hence the color black, the absence of light.
What happens when you close your eyes?
Well, I met a man once in Malaysia who had no eyelids and hence was unable to close his eyes. The doctors, they replaced the sac above his eye with two pieces of plastic. Unfortunately, they were clear, so he would close his eyes and still see.
Whoa. How did this affect this man?
Well...
Yeah, that's ridiculous, Dr. Ross.
Well, it was somewhat tragic. Eventually, he began to wear sunglasses. He would close his eyes all the time, but not sunglasses, but really opaque pieces of plastic, and he would slide these over his face until he could get this repaired.
So he got it repaired eventually.
It's a very risky operation around the eye, so I'm not sure if he... By the time I had to leave Malaysia due to the infiltration of my ring, he had still not had this problem resolved, unfortunately.
Yeah, I heard that you were a bit of a revolutionary in Malaysia, and the government there didn't like it too much.
Well, revolutionary is a very strong term. I really thought of myself as a free thinker. I'm sure Robert is familiar with the work that I did there. All I was trying to do, really...
I don't think.
No, feel free, Robert. Share.
I don't think. I'm a bundle of bad conditions.
Of pent condition?
Did you say pent? I said bad.
Bad conditions. What's wrong, Robert?
I'm a bundle of bad conditions.
But in particular, is it like a particular condition? So it's very timely you speak of condition.
We are feeding.
We were talking about the shift and of the possibility of removing those thoughts that distract us from our meditations and from our other works. You find conditions that disturb you or distract you?
Nothing really disturbs me.
Nothing disturbs you?
Society.
It is, yeah, I find it also.
And people placing their faces upon my face. And my face placing my face upon other faces.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I think that I would find that somewhat discomforting.
I think I understand what Robert's trying to say here. He's saying that in this society, it's... Well, perhaps less and less so, but especially in the past, it was the case that if you did not conform to some sort of norm, if your face wasn't the same as someone else's face, then they would try to place your face upon their face. They would try to convert you to their way of thinking, to their way of acting and being. And I think what Robert's trying to say here is that he's just noticing this still pervading the society today, where I place my face on your face, on his face, and their faces on my face again. We're trying to become the same people or something.
Mm.
I would take Dr. Jarvis's face any day. It's cute as a button.
But, you know, if I try to place my face on your face, it would cease to be really Jarvis's face. It would, I think it would have an effect on my face, which, you know, the idea of oppressing some other face.
Yeah, and it would tickle it too.
Robert, who places their face upon your face?
Yeah, everybody. I go into my work where I am forced to work by means of condition. I go to work every morning, and this man says to me, he says, "Have a rough night." And he persists on me not being in a good mood until I licked him.
How did he taste?
Salty.
What had he been sweating?
He was very salty.
Well, this is the human condition of salthood.
I believe so.
You know, salt itself is a word that has many meanings. It can mean abrasive, you know, and it can also mean, you know, valuable, right? Like the expression in English, salt of the earth.
Oh. Or even being worth your salt.
Valuable. And also it can mean changeable, like the wind, or friendly. These are all possible meanings of salt in various languages. So I'm not sure which of these meanings come across when Robert's friend is salty.
I don't think anything has any meaning. I just like to talk.
Oh,
no
you
one
are.
Likes to listen to me talk.
Oh, no. Well, we enjoy talking to you very much, Robert.
I enjoy listening to Robert.
So, people, I was in a parking lot today.
Yeah.
And there was these two black birds.
Whoa.
Flying in the sky. And there was lots of people walking around the parking lot.
Cool. Black birds, like the black house. Kind of an unnatural color for a bird.
They make funny sounds. I always thought these birds were crows.
Mm-hmm.
They are not crows, however.
Robert, let's hold this also for another call. Let's see if we can make this happen. Hello?
Hello? 10 p.m. Eastern Wartime.
Mm.
Your dial is set at 660.
So anyway, Robert, about the... about the blackbird. Robert?
Yes.
So the blackbird is actually a very intelligent creature. I'm not sure if you are aware, but in some cultures the blackbirds develop systems of reading and writing to the extent that they are regarded as symbolic of wisdom. In the Western culture, the raven. So, you have befriended several blackbirds?
I do not know if I am actually friends with the birds, or if I am trying to put my face on their face.
Yeah.
So you are trying to apply your vision of the world on theirs?
When I was younger, I was hoped that I'd be died and reincarnated. It was like get to go through every animal.
Totally. Especially birds, to be able to fly and take people's faces and peck people.
Yeah.
To be able to peck whoever you wanted would be a sense of freedom.
Well, let me tell everyone, too, that if they wish to join us and to join Robert and share with us your thoughts on grounding and the removal of impervious questionings and emotional baggage and windness, that you may call on our number 617-253-8810, WMBR in Cambridge, and we'll discuss with you our beliefs and our conditions. And we have one line remaining.
Yeah. We should totally get blackbirds on the show. Get them to call in. Get them share what they're thinking.
I would like to. I'm not sure if... I've not met anyone who claims or even possesses the ability to communicate with the blackbird recently.
They're complicated communicator, those birds.
Yeah.
Have you tried with your particular birds, Robert, to communicate?
Yes, very often.
And with what success?
Sometimes I walk down the street and I notice birds that they will not fear me.
So they permit you walking straight up?
They do not fly away.
Mm.
They do not necessarily attracted to me. but they don't fly away. Some of them we accept each other's space.
Robert, we have another. We have a second caller. Let's.
I repel birds.
You are repelling them. Hello, second caller.
Sobey Rich Rinso presents Boston Blackie, starring Chester Morris.
Blackie.
So it is timely but robotic.
True. And repulsive, repellent.
Yes, yes. So the birds permit you to stroke them and to approach them.
I do not try to touch birds often.
Do you think they would permit it?
Probably not. I think it's just how much I stomp when I walk.
So they let you approach them anyway?
Well, I mean, if they're like chilling by the side of the road in like a little like patch or whatever, some grass, whatever, daisy, whatever you want to call it, crazy dash. These birds, sometimes they don't fly away. Sometimes, they cut down all these trees on my way to work. Which I walk next to a lake. They cut them all down because, like, apparently there was poison ivy in the drinking water or something, and they needed to kill a bunch of trees because of this.
Oh, man.
Something. I don't know. I don't even know anything about it until all the trees were gone.
It's astonishing.
So I walk closer to the water now because there's not any trees there, and it's kind of nice. And lots of birds, they're in the field. I'm not sure if I'm disrupting the field of birds. When I walk in there, because some days they all take off. I don't know.
You know, Robert, you mentioning the poison ivy reminded me that the station has been getting a lot of email about my red tea from various people. And well, I'd rather not say why poison ivy reminded me of my red tea, but what's important is that I have been getting a lot of email about it, and to the 40-odd listeners who have sent email about asking for red tea, I'm afraid I must decline because, as I believe I've mentioned numerous times on the air, the red tea is something special. It is something, a personal bond between myself and who's drinking the tea, and in fact, who I make it for special, and between the tea and the internet does not facilitate such bonds, such spiritual connections, so I'm afraid I must respectfully, sadly, decline all of your emails for some red tea.
No, I know it sounds astonishing and surprising.
I thought you were brewing up like bark tea or some shit.
Well, let's keep it FCC, please, Robert.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. The tea, the healing power of the poison ivy is immense once the poison is removed.
Well, I said nothing about putting poison ivy in my tea, merely that it reminded me of it for unspecified reasons.
Well, perpendicular to this is that the much-loved nut, such as the cashew, is poisonous when eaten raw.
Really?
Yeah, and in fact, it must be boiled, and the steam from the boiled cashews can blind a human.
No way.
Yeah, it's true.
But I love cashews.
Well, once they are cooked, they are a delectable treat. So, I'm just saying that you shouldn't be astonished that something that when it is, approached when it is approached in the wrong way, that it can have a harmful effect. But when approached properly, the natural strength can be harvested.
This can be said for many, many things, substances, if you'd like to call it that, people are familiar with. This kind of reminds me of this sort of terrible possibility of harm that's being done to our society. Do you use a cell phone? Do you use a cordless phone?
Robert?
Do you use a computer?
Robert? I wonder if we've lost Robert.
Well, maybe he's just listening.
Or maybe he called from a cordless phone.
The reason I ask these questions is because I've heard of some recent technology, some recent research that's been done that would suggest that if you do use a cell phone, cordless phone, computer, even some of these popular video games, or even something as commonplace as a microwave, that perhaps it's affecting the way your brain works in ways that you would prefer it not.
But I always thought that my cell phone had a special power stone in it that would improve my brain function. It kind of harmonized with my neuron.
I think this is true only for people stone. With certain brain chemistries.
Hmm.
The fact is that these things could, you know, emit certain things.
Well, I can tell you, we have done experiments in my lab where we tried to get a group of rats talking on cell phones, and we found that the temperature of their brains while they were talking on the phone was increased by 4 degrees centigrade, which is quite a lot. It's not a safe effect on the rats.
So you would consider this a negative effect?
Well, you know, my only point is that it is clear that it's having some effect. You know, an increase in temperature that large, if it occurred in other body parts, would be equally astonishing.
So would you, as a doctor, be okay with your brain suddenly increasing its temperature to such a degree?
I would be a little bit alarmed. I really like my brain. Now, there are other organs, so the male sexual organs are 3 degrees Fahrenheit cooler than the rest of the body.
If we could increase those 4 degrees centigrade,
I think it would be...
That'd be a net increase of sexiness.
I think it would be dangerous.
Yeah, I believe it's cooler so that the male can remain fertile.
To facilitate function. We are getting another call. Let's see if we can arrange the call. Hello, you are on the air?
My cellular telephone died.
Oh, unfortunate, Robert.
But it didn't die. The battery ran out, so I had to plug it in again. But it was almost fitting.
It was.
It was totally fitting. We were afraid that you had died from the cell phone, not the other way around.
So are you using a cordless phone now, Robert? Or
I'm using a cellular telephone.
And is your... What is your...
Maybe it's affecting my head. Probably not very much.
It could be, yeah. Well, Robert, we have yet another call, so let's see if we can make this all harmonious. Hello, you are on the air?
Yeah. Everyone, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
You can hear me. You were talking.
Who makes those duck noises, anyways?
That's our own personal dog.
Why are we quacking?
He's quackling. It's not quite a quack, but it's like a choking.
Doctor chuckles.
You were talking about language earlier.
Hmm.
I found something I thought maybe you could help me with.
Okay.
The jumble?
It's a jumble. It's definitely a jumble.
Sweet.
You know, this Olympics thing is going to happen. It's going to happen in China.
Yep.
So there's all these pictures on the interwebs, and they're all about things in China. And they write them funny, and they write them in English, and they're funny. They don't make no sense. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, China's doing all this stuff, and they're making websites. So I was looking for car parts, you know, and I found this website, and it's the Chinese people made it, and it's all stuff. I don't know what the... It's called INP Cars. The car is in car talk, you know, C-A-R. INPcars.com. And I'll just give you an example. I'm going to give you some categories. You just shout one out, okay?
Okay.
Glass care, cleaning kits, solvents, undercoatings, interior,
exterior. Huh? I'm getting undercoatings.
Undercoatings.
Apple basket, flask.
Let's see. Is a higher up run along of under
authenticity blanket statement?
Oh, excuse me. Was I interrupting there?
Mark?
Was I interrupting you?
Well, gentlemen. So.
Muffin. Have you got your radio on?
Honey basket.
Have you got your hearing aid in?
Honey munches.
Hey, you, the only caller who has a name on this show.
I think it's an honor. It's an honor to have a name on the show.
Have names. Everybody in my town, they're all stabby.
Okay.
Robert. Hello?
Hello.
I think we lost the other caller. whoa. Robert?
Hello?
Oh, still there. Okay, good. Yeah, so I'm not sure where the discussion was going there with the Chinese Olympics. Mm-hmm. But, see, this sort of experience that we had here on the phones is exactly what I'm talking about with the issue of grounding. That, you know, for a moment, I felt that the temperature of my brain had somehow increased. You know, the interesting thing is that it was not that the rats were, their brain temperature would increase when they were exposed to cell phone rays. It was specifically when they were talking on the cell phone that their brain temperature increased. Somehow too much energy was going in.
So maybe it's just the art of talking that causes this brain increase.
Maybe, or maybe the chaos of, you know, a disembodied voice that we have not connected with in a deep meditative way.
I don't understand what we're talking about.
Well, you know, just a moment ago we were talking to you and to the other caller, and we found that, you know, there was disharmony in the call.
There's always somewhat disharmony.
There is, but
I'm always looking out.
How do we control this disharmony so that we can function and grow?
Maybe it's not a question of how to control the disharmony, but a question of how to harmonize with the disharmony, to live with it.
How to grow anyway.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I wonder if all the cars that pass me when I walk down the street every day make my brain temperature increase.
I know
they make my blood pressure increase.
The cars pass you and almost strike you?
I like it, though.
Hmm.
I like this harmony.
So you have found a place in your... a place of thinking where disharmony is right. Is that correct, Robert?
I think different things sit in different places.
If you were painting a house, would you prefer to have thoughts or an emptiness of thoughts?
Well, let's approach again the disharmony. We have another call. Hello, caller, you are on the air.
Yo, caller.
Hello?
Bummer.
Mm. I wouldn't paint the house.
What would you do?
I have shaky hands.
Oh. But you could use that to your advantage to create a disharmoniously
people don't like painted house like that. They would want you to paint it over. And they would sign petitions and say, paint your house over.
Yeah. Well, I think this depends more on the color.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe a splattery, bee-mudded house might be pretty dope. I would like it.
Just so long as it's not a nice aubergine, huh?
Yeah.
Well, its particular shade of aubergine was very disruptive.
Yeah. Mm. I would think about lots of stuff when I painted, except I wouldn't think about it.
You just live with it.
Or you
just
would
be in it, be with it.
Yeah. So what would, if you were to paint it out, what would your favorite color be? I think I'd go with like a mangosteen color.
Mangosteen.
Definitely the best fruit.
The king of fruits.
I love the durian, but...
Durian is but so stinky.
Like, yeah, but...
Well, we are getting another call. Let's try once more. Hello, caller?
From America.
Hello?
Hey, yeah, I like the sound of my voice.
You like it?
Yeah.
I like it too.
I also do.
I don't like the robot. We leave him in the corner. If we get another call, we'll entertain.
Hey, Robert, what color of a house would you prefer? Either fruit or not fruit.
Vegetable. Marijuana camera.
A marijuana color?
Marijuana color. The office camera.
Huh. Hmm.
I don't know what I said. To do what?
Yeah.
I forget.
Mary Jane camera would be an interesting house.
Hmm. My house is colored as a mosaic.
Hmm.
Yes, I've seen your house. It's very nice.
Thank you. I find that it very much helps you with the meditation.
Yes, about your meditation room. What is with all the weapons, the pictures of naked women, the candles, the drapes?
The tracery?
Well, I like in meditation to capture a variety of images, but they must be very, very much engrossing. So I select strong guttural figures and portraits and symbols so that in my meditation it jars me, but not enough to jar me out of the meditation with disharmony or disruption, but enough to jar me to a new direction of thought.
So that's why each of these pictures are of a woman of different race.
Or axes, or yes. Or you know, various thunderstorm images.
I noticed that there were only 3 axes, but about 20 or 30 different pictures.
Well, you know, I guess that I find the variation in axes to be necessarily small, hence I only have few axes, you know. One axe is as good as 2, really, when it comes to meditation, but...
Or 3 in this case.
Or 3.
I've never meditated on an axe.
Axial meditation, as I like to call it, is actually a very profound experience. Very helpful.
Were you talking about naked ladies before?
Well, not in particular.
One time, I saw this naked lady bent over in my head, and there was all this energy coming out of her butthole. But I think it was just imaginary. It was like one of those great pornography shots. That all
well, Robert, I think we got to keep it kind of FCC as.
Robert, we're getting another call as well, so let's see what we can make of this this imagery. caller?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Welcome.
And so the agent says, what do you call your act? And he stands up and he proudly says, the Aristocrats!
Yes, the traditional aristocrat joke.
$5,000 fine on F-bombs.
There's an F on the dollar bill. I was looking for a book. I don't know.
Hey, Robert will pay it off and get the...
Robert pay off?
You'll get 50 hours of airtime.
Cops, you get 50 hours of airtime.
So, caller three, what do you do to ground yourself, to remove these negative thoughts?
Wait, can I have a non-integer number?
Caller pi.
3.14159265.
So, now you have a transcendental number. Caller pi.
I think that's great, because I'm feeling very irrational.
He didn't call you a pussy gap.
Yeah.
This spider has been biting my arm. I saw him in my room the other day. I looked at him. I looked at him for a while. Then I looked away for a minute. I thought about killing him, and I was like, nah. And then I thought about it, and I looked away, and then I was like, I'm going to kill him, and then he was gone.
No, did you kill him?
No, he disappeared.
Good.
Go on.
I'm happy.
I have a lot of bites now.
Oof.
I always hope they're going to spell out Constellation. They never do, though.
Sometimes, you know, bites or skin lesions that appear to be bites can signify a disharmony internally.
In the psyche.
If spiders bite you, yeah.
Or otherwise.
Harmonious, disharmonious internal. What?
It's true. It's disharmony. For example, the... The most well-known would be the... The chicken pox.
Yeah. Right, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah. It's
so little kids get chicken pox because of bad karma?
No, it's because of a virus.
Of bad karma. Must be.
No.
The swine pox is from a bad karma, though.
Perhaps, but the I'm not really familiar with it. But the chicken pox is from a germ, a microbe, a microbial infection.
I actually invented chicken pox.
How old are you, Robert?
Old enough to invent chicken pox.
Because I first got chicken pox in the 40s. And let me tell you, chicken pox in the desert is not at all pleasant.
You probably wouldn't be able to drink as much beer in the desert.
Well,
I wouldn't want to live in the desert.
I believe the good doctor is of the Muslim faith, and correct me if I'm wrong, doctor, but
okay.
Muslims do not believe in drinking alcoholic beverages.
This is true. This is true.
Last time I talked to you, my cat died.
Your cat died?
Yoga. I personally don't like the whole gym atmosphere.
Well, I think it may be a good time now, with a few minutes remaining, if we could have a moment of silence for all of the people who have eaten food alphabetically today to celebrate their freedom. So let's have a moment of silence and enjoy that thought. Everyone's still on the air, just a moment of silence. So, thank you for joining us in a moment of silence for those free thinkers who have eaten their food alphabetically today.
People can be really nasty.
They can. It's true.
Only the other day I heard someone say, he's nothing but a robot.
For grounding, I like to grab a metal pole, place it in the earth, and swing around it.
I can see how the oscillation...
Did you ever see anybody do that?
He sees it on his wall every day when he meditates, that the women are oscillating around the pole.
I imagine them oscillating with me.
Wow.
It's very harmonious to be...
I can't even say that on the radio.
No.
I don't want to get fined. They know my area code.
Just like when one practices the art, and perhaps one could say the science of yoga, it is always best to practice in a room with other people of similar mind who will harmonize with you, whose spirits you can dine with, so to speak, and this can also be accomplished with the pole twirl and the imagination, as the good doctor does.
Yo, peace child Peter, what food did you eat alphabetically today?
Today I ate nothing but apples.
Huh.
And tomorrow?
Tomorrow it will be beets.
Beets tomorrow?
Beets tomorrow.
And the following day?
Cantaloupe.
Cake. Oh, cantaloupe.
I prefer fruit.
You're a fruit eater.
I am.
Dr. J?
Well, actually, it's Dr. Jim. In Arabic, it's Jim. Today, so I try to eat alphabetically in German. But the trouble is I don't know a lot of German. So mostly I oscillate between Apfel and Schnitzel, which are the two German words that I know. So... Apfelschnitzel, which is not a lot of variety, but at least I can exercise the freedom I have.
Yes, you have a fruit and you have a meat. It's very good.
Schnitzel.
Yeah.
Lots of poop.
Oh, poop is not very healthy.
Poop. I eat poop.
Poop, it's not helpful. You'll find in disharmony.
This guy that I watched this movie about, he pooped. No, he doesn't. No, he meant... women are strange. Women are strange.
Yeah.
Women are strange.
I agree.
I disagree.
Well, you know, women are just like you and me, Robert. They're just women.
It's a toggle. Rickin' basket. What does any word mean? Nothing word means anything. Pickin', bickin', boppin'. Boppin', talkin', boppin', boppin'.
Dr. Jaws, you should stop looking at your watch. Savor the moment, man.
I am trying. Problem is our station manager is gesturing at me, gesticulating wildly, indicating that...
Gesticulating?
He's
that
gesticulating.
That reminded me of, like Rotom. Wait, I meant to say phallic. See, I'm not very good with words. See, you should monitor your advertisements when you say something's for you. because the government really does just watch everyone, but you guys at MIT are just silly.
Basket. Cheers, Robert.
Well, Robert, thank you again for the most entertaining hour of joining with us in and out and sharing our discussion. Hopefully we will see you next week.
And bring the blackbirds along next time.
Namaste.
Masalama, Robert.
Oyasumi.
And ma'asalama to our listenership, and we shall hopefully rejoin next week.
Mahavishnu, John McLaughlin. I have had three dear friends, great musicians, die as a result of heroin. And I feel a great loss due to drugs. My personal feeling is that I cannot urge anyone enough to stop using drugs.
You're listening to WMBR 88.1 FM. I am Josh, and we're about to start up Hidden Gems in Plain Sight. And just give us 1 second. And, well, of course, this is Hidden Gems in Plain Sight. We're proving to you it's not that hard to find good music if you know where to look. And we are going to keep it going now with... 1 second. I will just play another little more information for you here, and I will be right back with you.
Hi, I'm Mariah Carey. What are you doing this summer? You could be a host for the Fresh Air Fund. All it takes is a little